Bickley and Murata mornings from 6 to 10.
Bickley and Murata.
It's the greatest show on earth.
Bickley and Murata.
Good morning and welcome.
Dan Bickley.
Sports, man. Sports.
Vince Murata.
It's a power-packed morning zoo. Are you kidding me?
Bickley and Murata.
Spectacular.
This is the greatest show.
Bickley and Murata.
I love this show. This is the greatest show in the history of radio.
It's the greatest radio show ever.
Bickley and Murata.
I hate everything about this show. This is the worst show in the world. Good morning. Happy Monday, Valley sports fans. Wake up, everybody. We have got a special Monday, a special week in front of us. I am Dan Bickley. That is Vince Murata. That is Jared Carlin. And that is Sarah the Ruthless. It's a special week because it's the Phoenix Children's Give-a-thon week. And it's a special week because I don't recall ever feeling so compelled by preseason football in my life. And I don't want to sound like a hypocrite. I hate it. But I was really compelled by storylines here, there, everywhere. And you know what it tells me, Vinny? We're in for, I think, a monstrously entertaining football season.
I hope so. Man, you were all excited about watching Trace McSorley play. Did you get a tip or something?
Did I not call that?
You did.
I did call that. But all over, just the storylines that we have to chew on out of week one of the preseason. You've got Lamar Jackson setting a deadline. You've got Jaguars fans going nuts on Deshaun Watson. And Deshaun's like, oh, whoa, people actually don't like me. You got Tom Brady ruining my Christmas.
That was, which is no different from every other
Christmas.
Hey,
that was already on the schedule. Christmas is going to be a real hectic time.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. It worked out real nicely last year for Phoenix sports fans. Not so much this year.
All right. So I don't know about you, but I was kind of monstrously entertained this weekend.
I was too.
Yeah.
We got a lot of it to get into.
Okay.
So let's
do it.
Let's
start the show, Jared.
Splash. The stories making waves in the sports world. The Splash.
Cannonball coming.
The Splash, brought to you by Presidential Pools, Arizona's number one pool builder. See why at presidentialpools.com.
And we start the Splash for August 15th with, yes, the Arizona Cardinals, who opened their preseason schedule, 36-23 win over the Cincinnati Bengals on Friday night. Quarterback Trace McSorley, outstanding, completed 13 of 22 passes for 163 yards and a touchdown, was also the Cardinals' leading rusher on the night. Wide receiver Greg Dortch.
What a Dortch!
Thank you.
What a Dortch indeed.
Stood out with four catches for 53 yards and a 55-yard punt return. On defense, Victor Dimukeji. What a Dimukeji! He had two sacks on the night. Cardinals did pare down their roster a bit on Sunday. They cut cornerback Breon Borders, defensive lineman Kingsley Kiki, offensive lineman Greg Long, offensive lineman Haggai Undubisi, and running back Ronnie Rivers were all cut. Cardinals back on the practice field. They get ready for their lone home preseason game Sunday against the Baltimore Ravens at State Farm Stadium. And the Ravens bringing that gaudy 21-game preseason winning streak to town with them.
How about that? Yeah.
We'll have a lot on the Cardinals, the ones that played, the ones that didn't play.
See, to me, I step back from this game, and this game is going to be quite a test for all of us because it was really, as Cliff Kingsbury said in that soundbite, a very clean performance. It was exactly what you might hope to see from the Arizona Cardinals in a preseason game. Then you got to balance it against the time-tested knowledge that all of it means nothing. And this is going to be a tough thing because there was so much that looked good on Friday.
Yes.
And none of it means anything.
I'm not positive nothing
you
means anything.
You should know better.
I should.
You should know
but
better.
But I think there's one element that might actually carry over.
All right.
New York Jets quarterback Zach Wilson on his way to Los Angeles to meet one of his mom's friends. I mean, to have surgery on his knee.
Oh, boy. Wow.
Who's this nurse?
We're in midweek form already.
Wilson injured the knee on a running play in the Jets preseason win over the Eagles on Friday. The team says it's a bone bruise and a torn meniscus. Looks like a 2 to 4 week timetable for the Jets. The other quarterbacks on the roster, Joe Flacco, Mike White, and Chris Streveler, who threw two touchdown passes in that game on Friday night. He did, too. Mike Singer of the Denver Post tweeted yesterday, looks like the Nuggets will host the Phoenix Suns on Christmas Day as part of the league's annual quintuple header showcase. It'll be the second straight Christmas Day appearance for the Suns, who dropped a 116-107 decision to the Warriors last December 25th. The other games, according to various reports, Milwaukee at Boston, Philadelphia visiting the Knicks, the Lakers traveling to Dallas, and the Memphis Grizzlies taking on the Golden State Warriors.
No Brooklyn Nets on Christmas Day?
No Brooklyn Nets, and wow, another appearance by the Knicks. And the 33-win Lakers, they get a spot.
That's a joke.
For Valley sports fans, second straight busy Christmas Day. Cardinals will also host Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers that night at State Farm Stadium. You may remember it was a 0-for-2 performance by the Suns and Cardinals last Christmas. The Cardinals lost to the Colts 22-16. D-backs.
I'm just going to tell you, I don't know if we're going to get into it today. Maybe we will, but the more and more that I step back from this Tom Brady thing, the more and more I just wonder, what is this going to mean? This is so unlike him. I mean, this, you know,
to be away from the team?
Yeah, to be away from a football team like this. Yeah, we'll get into it later.
D-backs get another series win, 7-4 victory over the Rockies at Coors Field. Christian Walker inflicted early damage with an RBI double in the first and then a three-run homer in the third. Tommy Henry was outstanding again. He pitched with a lead, and the rookie gave up just three runs on five hits over 5 1/3 innings for his second major league win. Walker, four hits on the day, his fifth career four-hit contest, first of the season. D-backs have surpassed their win total from a year ago already, 53-61.
What'd you think of those Rockies uniforms?
I've given them time. I've seen them wear them a few weekends. Mm-hmm. They're the worst damn things I've ever seen.
Yeah, they're disgusting. I'm like, ew.
And anybody defending them, I'd hate to see how you dress.
No. Well said.
They're terrible.
But it looks just like Colorado's license plate. Yeah, so?
That's what we were all clamoring for, a license plate jersey.
A license plate uni, yeah.
Thanks a lot. 7-3 in their last 10 games, too, for the D-backs.
So, listen. They're seriously one winning streak away from actually flirting with the postseason.
Yeah, I mean, they are within range of catching the Giants, who they play next, and with the expanded, postseason participants list, they do have a chance.
Rattle off 6-7 wins in a row in the very near future, and this could get very interesting around here.
Which is something they haven't been able to do this year.
Yeah,
those prolonged wins.
I know. Yeah.
Tonight it's Bumgarner against Cobb, 6:45 first pitch, 6:00 pregame here on 98.7 FM Arizona Sports Station. Mercury wrapped up their regular season with an 82-67 loss to the Chicago Sky, but they knew when they stepped on the floor they had already clinched a playoff berth thanks to other things that happened in the league. The Mercury will take on the top-seeded Las Vegas Aces in the first round, game one in Vegas Wednesday night. Vegas won all three regular season matchups between the two teams, but the 10th straight year the Mercury have made the playoffs.
And the playoff format in the WNBA is perfect for underdogs, perfect for teams that get hot at the right time. You got a best-of-three series to start. You win that, you're in the semis.
Yeah, no more single elimination.
Right. No, they've done away with that, which is good, but how shorthanded will they be?
Well, I know.
Don't know if you're going to have Diana Taurasi and Skylar Diggins-Smith's status still up in the air, too. And Will Zalatoris needed a three-hole playoff to hold off Sepp Straka.
What an entertaining end to a golf tournament that was. I know you were sitting around the TV riveted to that.
I saw the exchange in question, where Will Zalatoris hit a shot that you could hit a billion times and never get that result again.
Unbelievable. It was really, truly, for a couple of no-name dudes at the top of a leaderboard, it was really great stuff.
Yeah, he wins the St. Jude Championship in Memphis. First PGA Tour win comes in the first of three legs of the FedEx Championship. Next stop, Wilmington, Delaware, for the BMW Championship. And that gets underway on Thursday. There you go. There is your splash for Monday, August 15th, as we kick off Give-a-thon week for Phoenix Children's. That's coming up in a bit. But first, to get into the Cardinals preseason opener. Man, everything looks smooth, didn't it?
It did.
We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata Mornings, live from the Ak-Chan Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Camp Takeoff 2022 is a go. Covering and presented by 72 Zones and Kona Brewing. The home of Arizona's sports station.
Camp Takeoff 2022 with Bentley and Marotta.
You know, anytime you get out of preseason healthy and can play a clean game with substitutions, penalties, no turnovers, I thought that was what we wanted out of it. Long way to go. A lot of stuff we got to get better at, but we preach playing clean, and I thought we did that for the most part.
Cliff Kingsbury, head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, with, I think, the biggest takeaway from Friday night's preseason opener in Cincinnati, the clean nature with which the Cardinals played. Very little in terms of penalties. The operation, really, for three quarters, it didn't look like a preseason opener. What do you make out of that? Well, you make at least you can read into it a little bit.
Right.
You know, a team that was dialed in and knew what they wanted to accomplish. Now, I tweeted about that on Friday night, that I was impressed with how clean the Cardinals were playing the game, especially on the other side. Cincinnati was kind of an operational mess for a good portion of that game. So what does it mean? Does it mean anything? Maybe not. I mean, the Dallas Cowboys had 17 penalties in their preseason opener. Does that mean they're going to have 17 penalties each week? No, absolutely not. But for a first offering, especially with the small number of players who will contribute this year for the Cardinals actually on the field, that was impressive to me.
Yeah, no, I think, again, it was very impressive, and it was exactly what you would have hoped to have seen. If you were going to script something up after all of this offseason weirdness that has followed the Cardinals around, and there's been a lot of it, this is exactly the kind of game you would have scripted. No turnovers, two penalties, the other team getting constantly derailed by holding penalties, plays made by Andy Isabella, a third string quarterback showing all that kind of juice. Greg, what a dorch, playing like a breakout player might be performing. There was a ton of things to feel good about, but again, I'm going to balance it against what it really is. I've been down this road too often. To me, one of the most important things for the success of this football team in the regular season would have been the performance of Zaven Collins and that secondary, including Marco Wilson, neither of whom had a good game. There were other guys in the secondary who flashed. Josh Jackson flashed. Christian Matthews flashed. But again, it's all relative to who they're going up against. They're going up against backups. So I'm going to be saying this all week long. There's a lot of momentum to take from this game. And to me, more momentum than conclusions. But they did look like a football team that was focused and playing on time, which was good.
Yeah. When we talked Friday, hey, what are we going to be watching? Obviously, you're going to gravitate towards the guys that will be counted on to start or play heavy roles for this team this year. So Zaven Collins was at the top of the list on defense. You didn't really notice him the way you hoped to have noticed.
He did nothing.
You know, Wolf pointed out on one play, just bad technique on taking on a blocker where he went in with his shoulders instead of using leverage with his arms.
He got swallowed up.
Yeah, Collins talked after the game on whether or not he felt he made mental errors.
Feeling good about that, yeah. So nothing critical. So I thought we played really well in the back end. You know, right there in the beginning when we were all in, I thought everyone, D-line's unreal. You know, there's no O-lineman climbing up to us, so you kind of just sit back there, look all pretty, and then make a tackle. So it's easy on us, so it's nice.
Yeah, I think, you know, Zaven Collins, and you mentioned Marco Wilson, who also had a pass interference penalty on which he still gave up the reception on the play. Those two things right there were on a very short list of negatives for the Cardinals, but that means something because those guys, again, are going to be counted on.
Okay, yeah, right. I agree with that. So for the first time under the lights, this team showed up good and showed out very, very well. I was extremely impressed with a lot of individual performances. The day after the Cardinals draft, maybe a week, somewhere shortly after that, my memory is a little fuzzy about this. I remember talking to a source of mine who's based in the Midwest, and this source told me that the best draft pick out of the assemblage of guys the Cardinals selected on the NFL draft would be Jesse Luketta. And I remember saying maybe a month or so ago, watch out for this guy, linebacker from Penn State. This was quite a day for Penn State, wasn't it?
With
seriously.
With McSorley and Luketta.
Yeah. And Luketta, he only made a few plays per se, but it was the kind of thumping physical stuff that you need. And
I thought he got hosed on a terrible, unnecessary roughness penalty.
penalty, by the way.
Oh, without a doubt.
Yeah, that was so borderline.
And the speed he showed to get to the quarterback, though, even on that play. So I thought he looked great. Victor Dimukeji, I mean, can you trust what you saw from that? Again, if you were going to put a bunch of boxes in front of this game, the Cardinals probably checked every single one, except for Matt Prater missing extra points, which we're fairly certain is not going to happen, right?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, got confidence in that guy moving forward.
And then we got all the weirdness of the Kyler Murray calling plays at the end. And so I think for a opening preseason game, it was about as good as the Cardinals could have asked in terms of momentum.
Yeah, I would agree. The running game, you know, we were monitoring that position battle between Eno Benjamin, and we did not see Darrell Williams. He did not play in the game, but Jonathan Ward was a guy who stepped up in short yardage situations, had 2 touchdowns, 6 carries, 15 yards, 2 touchdowns. He talked about those 2 scores.
That's one of the best feelings going all the way back to youth football. You know, it's my front five versus their front five. You know, I'm taking my guys every time. So, you know, to me, that's the game that defines football. You know, those short yardage plays with 5-on-5 and a running back versus the linebacker, you know, you got to make the most of it. It's man on man, and you know, the end of the whistle is blown, we're going to see who the man was, the better man.
Yeah, James Conner's got a job locked up. You feel like Eno Benjamin's got a job locked up. Darrell Williams has a job locked up. Do they keep 4 or 5 running backs? Because Ward looked good, and Keonta Ingram, the 7th-round pick out of USC, looked good late in the game, too. He scored a touchdown as well.
They've got a real, real big dilemma here, because if you look at the running back room, you could make an argument you need to keep an extra running back, given the fact that Jonathan Ward, I think, is full of talent, and then Eno Benjamin's having a great camp, and you just drafted Keonta Ingram. So, and then you throw in James Conner and Darrell Williams, and you wonder, okay, wow, 5 running backs? And then you talk about the quarterbacks. What are you going to do with Trace McSorley? What are you gonna, because if you want to put him on a practice squad, he's going to have to clear waivers.
Yeah, and the dilemma there is, you know, you put out a performance like that, there's people around the league that are thinking, oh, wow, if Trace McSorley, if he gets cut, we're snapping him up.
The question becomes, if you're the Arizona Cardinals, what do you do then? You just put a lot of money in an aging, reliable veteran backup in Colt McCoy, and now you got this kid who just flashed. Now, and these guys see all these guys every day in practice. Mm-hmm. So, but that to me, that's a heavy decision too. Would the Cardinals? What if Trace McSorley lights it up again? Would you consider?
But again, I mean, how much stock are they putting into these performances against backups? Colt McCoy went 2-1 as a starter and completed 75% of his passes last year.
Exactly. That's exactly right. So you have to really weigh how much of this was really important. But I'm telling you, Trace McSorley played with exactly that swaggy approach Sarah and I and we were talking about on Friday. And it jumped off the screen.
Yeah. He has also talked about his ability to extend plays after the game.
Yeah, that's a little bit how I want to play. Obviously, try and take a few less hits when I can out there, but you know, that's how I've always played. Just you know, see a lane and go, and you know, still being able to have that, being able to work in the pocket and stuff like that. So I think this is another element of my game that, you know, when I see it, when I feel it, just be able to go with it and try and make a play.
I thought Goran Tano played really well too. I thought he was very confident, very quick on his feet, very decisive. I was just amazed at how well everything worked for the Cardinals on Friday.
Didn't expect to see
that good. I mean, that's right down to Kyler Murray bringing cups of water to teammates. It's like, and believe me, the cameras were sure to catch that. Look at what a great teammate he's becoming. He's bringing water to the guys.
What a guy, huh?
What a guy.
That's some high quality H2O.
Right. No, listen, I loved it. I'm making fun, but I do believe, fully in that we're watching Kyler Murray grow up before our eyes, so I'm just playing with that. But it was, yeah, that was pretty good stuff.
Yeah. You can text your thoughts to the FanDuel text line at 620-620 right now. Coming up next, there's a couple of other quarterbacks making big news stories, big headlines. We'll get into all that in NFL Hash Marks next. Bickley and Marotta mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Bickley and Marotta. Hash Marks.
I have to ask you, the initial ruling from Judge Sue Robinson made a very specific point of saying that your lack of remorse played into her decision-making. It's been a part of the narrative surrounding you. What is your response to that?
Look, I want to say that I'm truly sorry to all the women that I've impacted in this situation. My decisions that I made and my life that put me in this position, you know, I would definitely like to have back, but I want to continue to move forward and grow and learn and show that, you know, I am a true person of character, and I want to keep pushing forward.
That was before the Cleveland Browns preseason game on Friday, before the team got on the bus answering some questions on their lack of remorse to Deshaun Watson. And his language changed a little bit, too. He used the word impacted. I'd like to apologize to all the women I've impacted in this situation. When, what were the three key words he always used to say? I never assaulted, disrespected, or harassed anybody. Weren't those the three?
So, yeah, that's why I think that's what it was.
So why now you're apologizing?
Well, yeah, well, I think why he's apologizing now is he's kind of gotten back in the outside world, and here he is showing up for a football game, and I wish we could tell you what the fans in Jacksonville were chanting at him.
But we'd lose our license.
But we'd lose our license if we did that. And again, this wasn't full arena on, but this was a good chunk of fans who were chanting at him, "You sick bleep, you sick bleep." And it was like, whoa. And I think there was a realization that, oh, this is going to be bumpy here for a while. And I honestly believe, again, you brought up the idea of buyer's remorse. I don't believe the Browns have any of that. I believe they knew what they were getting into. I don't think anybody thought it was going to be this, maybe this nasty out of the gate. But I think somebody finally got to Deshaun Watson and said, listen, dude, you better apologize. You better stop with this attitude of yours. Because this is a preview of your near future. And if you don't come correct, at least in that regard, it's going to keep being really bad for you.
All right, but you know, this is still under consideration, the length of the suspension. We're still waiting for the appeal ruling on this. If it's a full year, does buyer's remorse start to creep in? Because even after a full year, however long the suspension is, Bick, whenever Deshaun Watson goes on the road, people don't forget this. Yeah, and you said it'll be bumpy for a while. Now he's for an introduction into, you know, re-entering the league as a competitive player. He got off easy. It was an early evening game in Jacksonville, Florida on a Friday night. There wasn't a whole lot of people there.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree.
So that vitriol is going to follow him in every single city. And already his teammates, like Joel Bitonio, the offensive lineman, is saying, it's Cleveland against the world.
Well, which is why he apologized, in my opinion, because that's the way to kind of tamp that down a little bit, to get people to forget, if not forgive a little bit. I'm just telling you how I observe this. And I think, look, you saw what the Brooklyn Nets did with Kevin Durant. They said, okay, sure, we'll wait a year for you. I think Cleveland's looking at the long run with him, and I think they know how good he is, and I think they think when they get through this, they're going to be very happy they did this, because he's a transcendent talent on a football field. We'll see where this thing goes.
Yep. The other quarterback making news, Baltimore Ravens quarterback Lamar Jackson, still no deal. This is weeks now after Kyler Murray's deal with the Arizona Cardinals was finalized, and Lamar Jackson throwing down deadline date.
Do you have a hard deadline in mind for that?
Yeah, we're coming up to it. Like, it's coming up. It's coming up. You know, season coming up. We're going to be good for the season.
Is there any change on that update? Any update on the contract?
No updates.
So, Miami, did they say they want to have it done or not done by week one?
Yeah, for sure.
All right, so the hard deadline.
So we've actually by week one. So there's actually a deadline here in front of the Baltimore Ravens, week one of the NFL season. What's he implying? That he's not going to play? That's what he's implying.
Why imply it?
I don't know. Listen.
Why not just say it?
Why not just make good by him? He gives that organization everything. I'm not going to hate on Lamar Jackson. Lamar Jackson, by the way, you see, he's bigger. He's physically added a lot of muscle.
I haven't seen, no.
Yeah.
On that note, have you seen Russell Wilson?
No.
Russell looks like he got swole.
Swole? Yeah. Lamar Jackson definitely did. He definitely did. He added a lot of muscle from last season, from what I can tell. So this will be interesting. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I think the Ravens know, of course, we have to pay that guy.
Well, there's some people close to it that don't think it's going to happen.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm totally blanking on his first name. Fowler from ESPN.
Jeremy Fowler.
Jeez.
The Anthony Dunlap lookalike.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, kind of, yeah.
That's pretty good call. He doesn't think it's going to get done in time.
Some of the people I'm talking to around the league are a bit skeptical this can get done because there's going to be a gap in guaranteed money. It's believed that Lamar Jackson wants a very strong guarantee structure, and he has a blueprint with Deshaun Watson and what Watson did with a fully guaranteed $230 million deal. Now, I'm told the Ravens have been trying to bridge the gap in recent weeks. Ever since that Kyler Murray deal went down in Arizona, that sort of reignited the quarterback market. So Baltimore certainly is trying, but there is a gap that has to be closed here, and they got about 3 weeks to do it.
Yeah, I'm real curious. How hard is that deadline? Will there be budging on Baltimore's side? And there's people now that are like, if that deal is not done in time by that deadline, Lamar Jackson should not play. He got some criticism for even practicing without a new contract. Some people commended him for it, but others thought it was an unnecessary risk. That's going to be real interesting.
Well, the fact that he is willing to practice tells you that he's really trying to go about it the right way. And I think that's a perfectly fair thing to do. I mean, this is an MVP level player.
Well, it's perfectly fair to do, except that he hasn't gotten a new contract, so it doesn't seem to be working. If his strategy,
well, playing, there's a deadline now.
Being professional,
but prior to this weekend, there was not an explicit deadline in place. Now there is.
Yeah. Preseason football, one of the bummers about it is injuries. The New York Jets are feeling that after Zach Wilson. He played on Friday night, hurt his knee. Here's Rich Cimini, who covers the Jets, with the update.
Well, I guess all things considered, it turned out pretty well for the Jets. It could have been disastrous if it was season-ending. But, the sources are saying that it's 2 to 4 weeks. From my understanding, it's probably going to be closer to four. And so tomorrow actually is 4 weeks to the opener against Baltimore at home. So it's going to be a race against the clock. Personally, based on my understanding of the injury, I don't think he'll be ready for opening day. Now, he will have arthroscopic surgery coming up here very soon in the next day or so. And they'll be able to tell a lot more once they get in there with the scope to see the extent of the damage. But right now they think it's a bone bruise and a torn meniscus, but not a badly torn meniscus, just a very minor tear. But they won't know for sure until they get in there.
Yeah, that surgery is scheduled for Tuesday for Zach Wilson. It did look worse at the time, so I think the Jets are breathing a little bit easier. But, you know, he mentioned in that soundbite, Bick, they play Baltimore week one. We could be looking at a Joe Flacco versus Tyler Huntley quarterback battle for week one.
Joe Flacco revenge game.
Yeah right.
Let's go. Show them why you're elite, buddy.
Yeah.
They still using that word with Joe Flacco?
I think so.
That game, the Philadelphia Jets game, not only did Wilson get hurt, Jalen Hurts played for Philadelphia. And I don't know if you saw the shot he took running the ball out of bounds, clearly out of bounds, took a cheap shot, a helmet-to-helmet shot. Nick Sirianni, the head coach of the Eagles, wanted to kill somebody.
As he should.
That's the peril that you put your quarterback in when they're playing in these games. And I did, I looked at all the games, and I think, about half of the starting quarterbacks, projected starting quarterbacks, if not more, saw some action this weekend in the first full weekend of preseason.
Kind of odd. I think it's all situational in respect to what's going on in each different franchise. But
like Patrick Mahomes played for the Chiefs. I mean, how much sense does that make, really?
Not much.
I don't think so either. When you have other teams like the Chargers in their same division saying Justin Herbert will never take a preseason snap of football ever.
Yeah, it seems to me to be just a wholly unnecessary risk.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. Coming up next, it's here again, the annual Give-a-thon week for Phoenix Children's. We will kick it off and start our fundraising efforts to help the kids at Phoenix Children's next. It's Bickley and Murata Mornings, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, in the Arizona Sports app. Give-a-thon on the Bickley and Murata Show.
Yes, it is Phoenix Children's Give-a-thon week here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station, and KTAR News 92.3 FM. What do we do? We raise money for Phoenix Children's, which is a jewel in our own community. And just first and foremost, you're going to hear this phrase a lot over the next week. That phrase, Bick, champion of hope. What does that mean? Become a champion of hope. That's $20 per month is all we're asking. A teddy bear will be donated to a patient patient in your name, you'll receive your choice of a kids pass at Wildlife World Zoo or a cobblestone car wash. But become a champion of hope, because every dollar counts in this whole process for us and for Phoenix Children's.
Without a doubt. Longtime listeners of this radio station, you understand exactly what we're doing this week. You know why we're doing it this week. This is a chance for all of us once again to show how communal we are and to show how much we do care about the children in this community. As you just said, Phoenix Children's is a incredible asset for this community. If you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. We visit there regularly, so you kind of understand the hope the place provides, the healing it provides, and just what a great rock it is for our for this community. And this is the time for us to kind of rally around our children in the valley. And granted, this has not been the easiest time financially with inflation, and I know a lot of people are struggling and living check to check. If you can help us out, it would be greatly appreciated.
Yeah, because at the bottom line of it, kids can't wait. Every day, children facing life-threatening illnesses and injuries come to Phoenix Children's. And I'm talking from all over the state, from all over the country, in some cases from all over the world. And when I said that every dollar really counts in all of this, Bick, it is true. Like $6.50. That means a meal voucher for a family member at Phoenix Children's. $25 can be a gas card. $100, a red wagon for patients. Transportation. So, like I said, and not to mention all of the philanthropic programs that exist at Phoenix Children's that exist solely based on the generosity of the community. So that's really what we're talking about.
Without a doubt. So, Ed, when you hear this throughout the course of the week, we've got a phone bank right behind us down the hall of live operators waiting.
Yes.
There's great incentives to jump on board with this. We as a station and you as the listening audience, we've been able to do so many good things in terms of this Giveathon week over the course of time. Let's do it again.
Yeah, that
let's
phone bank is the Desert Financial Phone Bank. Bick mentioned it. We have a whole team back there. That phone number, 602-933-4567. That's 602-933-4567. You're going to hear that phone number a lot, too. Just commit it to memory. That's how you donate. That's how you can become a champion of hope. Like I said, let's kick this thing off. Let's get our first check presentation. We'll start the engines today with a donation from our Teddy Bear Express sponsor, the good people at Train.
All right, I'm sitting now with Becky Booth from Train, the Southwest Area GM of Train. And Train, for anyone who has listened to the Giveathon before, knows they are our Teddy Bear Express sponsor. So, Becky, first of all, welcome.
Thank you.
Good to have you here. Good. What is the Train Teddy Bear Express?
So we get to give out teddy bears to children at Phoenix Children's Hospital. And when we're doing the Giveathon, we get to ask if someone wants to be a champion of hope and donate a teddy bear. And that champion of hope, they donate a little bit more than they would have maybe normally. And this is kind of near and dear to my heart, because when I was early married, my family was I come from a large family. So I had a sibling at the time who was 5 years old, and my family was in a really critical car accident. And my little sister was in and out of hospitals for about 6 months. Mm. And it was interesting during that time. It may seem interesting or silly to people about a teddy bear, like how big a deal is a teddy bear. But I can tell you, when there's a little child who's been stuck in a hospital, those teddy bears mean a lot. And she carried those things that people gave her for a long time. And whether it was a quilt, whether it was a teddy bear, those things made so much to her recovery and helped her through that time. And so it's really cool for me to be a part of the part where we're sponsoring and giving that to those children, giving that hope to them.
Mm-hmm. Well, Becky, I know you've got a big check with Train to present. So would you mind sharing what that amount is?
Yes, we're donating $6,500.
Awesome. Now, how many teddy bears do we think that is?
That's a lot of teddy bears.
That's a lot of teddy bears for a lot of kids.
Yes.
Who deserve that extra comfort. Well, thank you so much, Becky. Really appreciate you sharing your very personal, very emotional story. And thank you for the generosity from you and from Train.
You bet. And we're very happy to be here.
Yeah, thanks to the whole team at Train, the Teddy Bear Express. We've got a lot of experience with
That's
that.
That's a good
Bick.
Beginning right there.
It's a great beginning. $6,500 from the great people at Train. And recently, I've said this for years, Bick, when we do the Teddy Bear Express and you see the look in on a child's face who's a patient at Phoenix Children's, and they get that teddy bear, their face lights up. that's not always the case. On our most recent visit, we visited a little girl and gave the teddy bear, and she was frustrated. She was tired. She wanted to go home. Mm-hmm. But I guarantee at some point that teddy bear put a smile on her face.
Yes. And we've been doing this. You're right. There's a big range of emotions that you're going to find when you tour Phoenix Children's. And you and I got to do that. And that was a very poignant moment. I'm going to share some of my thoughts on that coming up. Yes, that teddy bear does make a big difference. It's a bright light in the course of a day.
Yes.
And you can accomplish that.
And you can get one of those teddy bears into the hands of a patient at Phoenix Children's. Call the Desert Financial Phone Bank right now. Become a champion of hope. 602-933-4567. That's 602-933-4567. It's time for a story of hope presented by Madame Homes. In September 2019, Jason, a student at Brophy College Preparatory, collapsed during basketball practice and was unresponsive. His mom, Dee, dad, Chris, and Jason talk about that fateful day and what was to come in his Phoenix Children's journey. This is Jason's story.
Getting a call from the school when you see that pop up on your phone, middle of the day or the afternoon, it always takes a pause. So my husband, he simultaneously was getting a phone call from the police officer that had hopped in the ambulance with Jason. But as we started driving down and discussing what was going on, we started to, I think, get a little bit more panicked. My husband went to park the car and I ran in. At that point, that instinct kicked in that something wasn't right. And that's when we found Jason, you know, getting treatment by multiple people. There were first responders standing over him, the emergency room staff.
Due to the amount of people in the room, it instantly caught you as, wow, this is serious. It was frightening.
But Chris and I knew to stay calm because we knew that he was in the right place and the experts were taking care of him. Jason had collapsed at practice, that they had gotten to the scene, that an AED had been administered. For that to be administered, we now know the heart must be stopped.
I do remember just waking up in the hospital bed and I was confused. My mom mentioned to me that I actually thought I was in the hospital because of COVID. I didn't know what had happened to me. It's like my brain just completely forgot about everything that day.
But the overall experience from the emergency room to the ICU, it was absolutely incredible and exactly what you would want.
And when we did get introduced to the Dr. Franklin, Dr. Velez duo, the A-team, we had no idea, again, being in it, that we had, you know, the MVPs of you know, the surgical and clinical team. You know, everything from them drawing us pictures, you know, answering our questions as things were unfolding. They were so patient. But that's the type of doctors and surgeons that we dealt with, who, no matter how long their day was making sure we as patients were seen and heard. And that was important. You know, we were scared once we started to get more information because of the unknowns of Jason's recovery.
As the days turn into multiple days and move on, you know, Jason went in and he had a surgery approximately a week later. So spending time at BCH around the clock, and they do a really good job. They become your family because you don't leave and you're there nonstop. I can't have enough gratitude and be thankful enough to the folks that gave us care. The ICU director stayed. I checked in with her at night, you know, just walking to get a cup of coffee and said hello to her and said thank you for a stay. She knew that Jason did well and he was checking out of the ICU after his open heart surgery. She smiled. She said, I'm so happy for you because not everyone gets the outcomes. Because we're very fortunate. Jason has a very, very great, and we were very fortunate for his outcome. And she was another person that he was so grateful for the staff and the standards that they maintained for themselves in that hospital. It was remarkable. Wow, what an incredible institution you'll find yourself in if you receive care or ever need to attend PCH for any reason.
That's Jason's story, and you hear his dad, Chris, mention it about the time spent you know, around the clock. Families are there when you have a patient at Phoenix Children's. That's why we do this, for stories like that. Become a champion of hope. $20 per month. Call the Desert Financial Phone Bank right now. 602-933-4567. Again, that phone number, 602-933-4567. What does that mean? A champion of hope. $20 per month. You'll get a teddy bear from that train, Teddy Bear Express, into the hands of a patient at Phoenix Children's. And you also receive your choice of a kid's pass at Wildlife World Zoo or a cobblestone car wash. And what that means right now, that music means we're in a match. We're in a match right now by Ace Hardware. So every time you call the Desert Financial Phone Bank at 602-933-4567, become a champion of hope and make it count twice right now thanks to the generosity of Ace Hardware. And that match will go through the commercial break. So just because we are hitting the break doesn't mean don't call.
Right.
Make it count double.
Exactly.
Again, with that match from Ace Hardware, 602-933-4567. That's 602-933-4567. That is the train Teddy Bear Express delivering those teddy bears to patients at Phoenix Children's. We are just getting started. Give-a-thon week for Phoenix Children's. It's presented by your Valley Hyundai dealers and the Chin Indian community.